What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you get right with God. Today, we're on episode 62. We're talking about replacement theology. What is it? We're in a series called Israel, and one of the things that you'll hear when it comes to exposing the false Jews in Israel, as we've talked about in the last two sermons, is who is Israel then? If not the people over in Israel who claim to be Jews, they're really Khazarians and they're Ashkenazi, then who are? And what you'll hear from most people, they'll say, well, the church replaced Israel. The nation of Israel was replaced by the church. That's what they'll tell you. Okay. And they'll say that all the promises of Abraham belong to the saints and the children of God. And so they'll say something like that. And they'll show you a scripture that I'm going to read in a minute to justify it and to back it up. But I'm telling you today that that's not true. The Bible is clear that God has not replaced the nation of Israel. Okay. Now, the Bible talks about two kinds of Israel in a sense. It doesn't use these terms, but they're basically stating that there is a spiritual Israel who are like the children of Abraham because they believe by faith. And then there's a physical Israel that's still in existence to this day. They may be scattered, but the bottom line is Israel still exists. Who are they? And we've mentioned that they are the black people who were scattered and brought on slave ships and dispersed throughout the world. So let me read the scripture that they read to justify what they believe here. It's in Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 through 29. It says, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promises to Abraham belong to you. I'm going to read it again. Verse 29 of Galatians chapter 3, it says, and now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. See, they'll say, see, I'm a child of Abraham because I belong to Christ. And they'll forget all about the nation of Israel and say, well, they don't exist no more. I'm a child of Abraham now. Everybody that's a child, a physical child or actual nationality in the bloodline of Abraham, they somehow just don't exist anymore. They don't have connection to God or whatever. This is what they say. But all they're doing is taking one scripture and they're not reading the whole counsel of God. So we're going to read the whole counsel of God today and show you how God has not replaced Israel. All right. But I'm going to read that passage again, because this is true for all of us. Whether you are an Israelite or not, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are the true children of Abraham. What they mean here is, just as I mentioned before, Abraham believed by faith and he walked in faith, and everybody else who walks in faith in God becomes like a child of Abraham. That's what is basically stating here. All right. So if you walk in faith, if you're a child of God, if you believed in Christ Jesus and was born again and became a child of God, you're a descendant of Abraham because he had faith in God and you have faith in God. That's what they mean here. It doesn't remove the nationality. That's what I'm going to show you next. So continuing on, let's go to Romans chapter 11. And these are the same people talking here. In Galatians, it was Paul talking. And in Romans, it's Paul talking. All right, so you can't take one scripture and remove the other one. So let's go to Romans chapter 11. This is all from the New Living Translation I've been reading. All right, I'm going to read the whole chapter of Romans chapter 11. All right, to show you that God has not replaced Israel with the church or the saints. The nation still exists. Okay, let's get started. I ask, then, has God rejected his own people, the nation of Israel? Of course not. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. This is Paul speaking. He mentions nationality right here. He mentions one of the tribes, which is the tribe of Benjamin. Now, let's talk about the church. Is the church broken up into tribes? No, it's not. So he's talking about the nation of Israel right now. God has not rejected them. God has not replaced them with the church. We're going to continue to read. We're going to show you what God did. Verse 2, no, God has not rejected his own people whom he chose from the very beginning. Do you realize what the scriptures say about this? Elijah, the prophet, complained to God about the people of Israel and said, Lord, They have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me too. And do you remember God's reply? He said, no, I have 7,000 others who have never bowed down to Baal. It is the same today. For a few of the people of Israel have remained faithful because of God's grace, his undeserved kindness in choosing them. And since it is through God's kindness, then it is not by their good works. For in that case, God's grace would not be what it really is, free and undeserved. All right. So he's mentioning that even though, like Elijah mentioned, like he was like, ain't no more Israelites. Ain't nobody living for God. God says through Paul here, he reminds everybody that the Israelites, there were still people of God that were following God, that accepted the gospel, who believed on Jesus and got born again. All right. So he's stating that. Let's keep going. Verse 7. So this is the situation. Most of the people of Israel have not found the favor of God they are looking for so earnestly. A few have, the ones God has chosen, but the hearts of the rest were hardened. And as the scriptures say, God has put them in a deep sleep. To this day, he has shut their eyes so they do not see and closed their ears so they do not hear. This is why most black folks who are Israelites ain't in God right now. They're in religion, but they're not in Christ. They're not born again. Their hearts are hardened. Okay? And he's going to keep talking about that. Verse 9. Likewise, David said, let their bountiful table become a snare, a trap that makes them think all is well. A lot of black folks think that everything is well. They're on their way to hell, though. A lot of them in churches today. All right, keep going. Let their blessings cause them to stumble and let them get what they deserve. Let their eyes go blind so they cannot see and let their backs be bent forever. Did God's people stumble and fall beyond recovery? Of course not. So he's not saying that, oh, Israel is over with. They failed. No. They're going to recover. They were disobedient, so God made salvation available to the Gentiles. But he wanted his own people to become jealous and claim it for themselves. So that's what happened. Jesus came on the scene. He only came to the house of Israel. Jesus said it himself. I come to spread the gospel to my people. I'm not coming to speak to no Gentiles or nobody else. Okay, and what happened? A few of the Israelites got saved. We know that in order for the gospel to even be spread, it had to be some Hebrews who took the message and spread the gospel. That's how we got the gospel today. But most of Israel rejected the gospel. That's why they killed Jesus. They didn't want to hear his message. They didn't like him. They were influenced by the Pharisees who hated Jesus. And so they said, crucify him. And for that, we were scattered and we're thrown into the curses. But there were a few of us. We got the apostles who took the gospel and spread it. Okay. And one of the apostles, Paul, was an apostle to the Gentiles. So he had to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And we see here that God was setting that up. He knew what the people was going to do. He knew that the people were going to reject his son. But he said it's a setup to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, to open it up to the Gentiles. All right, let's keep reading. We need to go up to verse 11. Did God's people stumble and fall beyond recovery? Of course not. They were disobedient, so God made salvation available to the Gentiles. But he wanted his own people to become jealous and claim it for themselves. Now, if the Gentiles were enriched because of the people of Israel, turned down God's offer of salvation, think how much greater a blessing the world will share when they finally accept it. So he's talking about how great of a blessing to the world when the Israel finally accepts God. Okay, so they will accept us. Accept God at some point. Verse 13, I am saying all this especially for you Gentiles. God has appointed me as the apostle to the Gentiles. I stress this, for I want somehow to make the people of Israel jealous of what you Gentiles have, so I might save some of them. For since their rejection meant that God offered a salvation to the rest of the world, their acceptance will be even more wonderful. He keep telling you Israel going to accept that gospel. Israel going to get saved. All right. It will be life for those who are dead. And since Abraham and the other patriarchs were holy, their descendants will also be holy, just as the entire batch of dough is holy because the portion given as an offering is holy. For if the roots of the tree are holy, the branches will be too. So he's saying that we still a holy people. We just right now, we just under some stuff. We under the curses right now. But we're waking up. We're like those dry bones. We're dead people being brought back to life. Verse 19. Well, you may say, those branches were broken off to make room for me. Yes. But remember, those branches were broken off because they didn't believe in Christ. And you are there because you do believe. This is what happened to Israel. They didn't believe in Christ. He came as a savior to them. He wanted to save them from their sins. They was like, you should save us from the Romans. We want to be on top of the world and running the world. Jesus didn't come for that. He came to save them from their sins and to transform their souls. Okay? They didn't believe. They rejected Christ. But the Gentiles believed in Christ. So it goes on in verse 20 again. So yes, but remember, those branches were broken off because they didn't believe in Christ. And you are there because you do believe. So don't think highly of yourselves, but fear what could happen. For if God did not spare the original branches, he won't spare you either. So this is just another sidestep to, you know, the eternal security and people believing that, you know, I'm once saved, always saved. Okay, stop believing in Christ and see what happens. Stop obeying Christ and see what happens. He gonna cut you off. See, be concerned, Gentiles, because if he cut off Israel for not believing in him and broke them up for being a nation, what do you think he's gonna do to you if you stop believing in him? Do something similar, okay? So, and if you want to say, well, all the blessings of Abraham apply to me as a Gentile, you also got to bring in them curses too. You want the curses too? So it's something to consider. Verse 21, for if God did not spare the original branches, he won't spare you either. Verse 22, notice how God is both kind and severe. He is severe toward those who disobeyed him, but kind to you if you continue to trust in his kindness. But if you stop trusting, you will also be cut off. And if the people of Israel turn from their unbelief, they will be grafted in again. For God has the power to graft them back into the tree. You by nature were a branch cut from a wild olive tree. So if God was willing to do something contrary to nature by grafting you into his cultivated tree, he will be by far more eager to graft the original branches back into the tree where they belong. God is down with Israel. He loves Israel, the nation of Israel. The black man that scattered and looked toe down, he still love us, okay? He ain't discarded us. And I'm one of those Hebrews who believed God and got born again, and I'm a child of God. And so I'm happy, okay? Not only to be an Israelite, but to also be a child of God, all right? I'm in the tree. I've been grafted back in. And what the scripture is saying, that ultimately the majority of us will be brought back into the fold of God. We will be restored to our place. Verse 24 again. You by nature were a branch, talking about the Gentiles, cut from a wild olive tree. So if God was willing to do something contrary to nature by grafting you into the cultivated tree, he will be far more eager to graft the original branches back into the tree where they belong. He said it was something contrary to nature by grafting in this wild olive tree, which is the Gentiles. In other words, you Gentiles ain't got no business in the blessings and in the things of God. But God loves everybody. See, the Bible says God so loved the world, not just the Israelites, but everybody. So he wanted to work with Israel and make his great nation, but they failed him. All right. He said, I'm going to give this gospel to the Gentiles. They accepted it. Now the gospel is being preached to the Israelites. And you see a lot of Israelites waking up into their true nature and all this kind of stuff. And he says here that he'll be a lot eager to graft the original branches back in to the tree. So he's looking forward to bringing Israel back because that's his firstborn. Israel is the only nation that God created. Every other nation formed itself. If you can understand that. He's the only one that said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. He didn't say that to anybody else. All the other nations formed themselves. The nation of Israel is the only nation that God created. He set up. He put together. Okay, so he's looking forward to putting this nation back together. He dispersed it. He broke it up. He scattered it because of their unbelief, but he's going to bring it back together. Okay? Let's keep on going. Verse 25. I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves. So we got to be humble about all this, Gentiles and Israelites, okay? Some of the people of Israel had hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ. And so all Israel will be saved, as the scriptures say. The one who rescues will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn Israel away from ungodliness. And this is my covenant with them, that I will take away their sins. Look at that now. It says some of the people of Israel had hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles come to Christ. So basically he's showing you this. Once there's a number of Gentiles that are going to be saved, and God only knows who those people are, and at what point where it's a cutoff point for the Gentiles. I'm talking about white folks. I'm talking about Asians. I'm talking about Mexicans. We're talking about Indians. We're talking about every other nation, nationality, but the Israelite, the black man who's been spread around the earth. Once that number is final, God says, oh, I got enough Gentiles that are born again. I'm good. Then he switches back to his people, working with his people and getting them ready. And I believe that number's up. I really do. Obviously, there are some who are born again and God has locked them in. And you know who you are. If you're a Gentile, you know you're born again. Be glad, because there's a cutoff point to y'all. God's just not going to keep on saving Gentiles. It's a cutoff point. He has a number and that's it. And then he's going to switch back to Israel. All right. And that's what he said he's going to do here. Verse 27. And this is my covenant with them, that I will take away their sins. So there's going to be a rescuer that will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn Israel away from ungodliness. Verse 28, it says, many of the people of Israel are now enemies of the good news, and this benefits you Gentiles. Yet they are still the people he loves, because he chose their ancestor Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God still loves Israel. So all you replacement theology people, you wrong for saying he just got rid of Israel. He didn't do it. He still love us. And as black folk, you need to love your own people. God loves Israelites. He loves the black people. You ought to love them too. Don't despise them just because the rest of the nations despise us. Okay? Many of the people of Israel are now enemies of the good news, and this benefits you Gentiles. Yet they are still the people he loves, because he chose their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Once you Gentiles were rebels against God, but when the people of Israel rebelled against him, God was merciful to you instead. Now they are the rebels, and God's mercy has come to you, so that they too will share in God's mercy. For God has imprisoned everyone in disobedience so he could have mercy on everyone. Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. That's the entire chapter of Romans. I encourage you to read chapter 8, 9, and 10 as well. But the bottom line is, I wanted to show you that God is not done with Israel. He has not replaced Israel with the church. He loves Israel. He scattered them for their disobedience. We believe that's the black man. And we'll explain that in the next sermon. But that's all I got to say. Replacement theology is a load of crap. It's just a fallacy. That's what it is. That's all I got to say. I mean, if you can't understand Romans chapter 11 and see that the nation of Israel is still here and that God loves them and that he did not replace them with the church, I don't know what else to tell you. So he has not replaced Israel. There's no such thing as replacement theology. Get rid of that. The church, the people of God, exists right alongside the nation of Israel. Now, it's clear that the nation of Israel, people inside the nation of Israel, need to be born again. I'm not saying that Israelites, if you're by blood an Israelite, you're just somehow going to be saved. That's not what scripture is teaching here. Everybody needs to come into Christ. Everybody needs to be born again. Jesus told one of the Pharisees that you need to be born again. That's how it works. It's not that just because you're an Israelite by blood, that you somehow saved. So we're not teaching that. Israelites need to wake up. They need to be born again. And that's what I teach here. And I'm telling these Israelites, yeah, it's good to know that you're an Israelite. Great. But you need to be born again. Okay? And I'm tired of people just running around talking about I'm an Israelite, but you're not born again. If you're not born again, you're not going to make it into heaven. You will not be receiving the promises of God. And you cursed until you get born again. So I encourage you as an Israelite to get born again if you're not born again. And if you are, walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit and let God lead you and guide you. For all the Gentiles who've been believing that, you know, somehow you have replaced Israelites, you have not replaced them. And you need to let people know Israel is still in existence, okay? And those people over in the state of Israel who jacked that land from the Palestinians, those are not the Israelites of the Bible. We already showed you DNA evidence. We already showed you that they're not the people, okay? They liars, and they are the synagogue of Satan. So until next time, walk in the Spirit. If you're not born again, read the gospel, accept it, and be born again, and be blessed.